Good morning. It's good to see you. We're glad that you're here to worship with us. We're glad you're here to be part of our service today. We're in the middle of a series called All In. And so this morning we're going to be in the book of Daniel. So if you want to start making your way to Daniel, we'll jump in that text and we'll get to that in a minute. Before we get to that, I want to tell you a story about a guy named Hernan Cortez, and you may have heard of him when you were in grade school or maybe in college, but Cortez was one of the first guys who came over and was going to be a conquistador for the Spanish government. And so he comes, his goal was to find gold, and so one of the places he landed was in South America, and he goes to South America, and his goal is to go to this Aztec empire and find all of this hidden gold. And so Cortez arrives with a fleet of ships. And when he gets there, there becomes a grumbling between the men and an issue of saying, I don't think we want to be here. Right? We need to go back. And so some of the guys wanted to turn around and head home. And so what Cortez does is he gives an order to burn all of the ships. And so when they get off the ships, they burn the ships. And his guys say, Cortez, how are we going to get home? And Cortez makes a statement. He says, if we sail back, it'll be on their ships, not ours. Cortez was all in. He was ready to go all out. He was ready to take over, and he was ready to cut all ties and to go all in so that he is able to be able to find this goal. Today, I want to talk to you about the idea of who is our all in all. Are we willing to go out all in? Are we willing to go all out for our all in all? And so Cortez's men wanted to play it safe. They wanted to make sure they had the ships. They wanted an escape plan. They wanted to be able to get out of there in case they needed to. And so I ask you this question. What is your options? Do you leave yourself options when you get into a sticky situation? Are you looking for a way out? Or do you trust God? Some of us have different options. We have a 401k. We want as many options as possible. We have a 401k. We have a job. Maybe we have another job lined up. We have all of these other things. We've got this person in the wings in case we have a relationship go bad. We've got this, that, or something else. And we've given ourselves ways out. And instead of just being all in and going all out, we look for options. This morning, I want to challenge you that when you go all in, you get to find the best option possible, and that's God. God needs to be your whole option. So this morning we're going to talk about a guy, or rather three guys, who decide that they're going to go, no matter what, they're going to go all in. They're going to count the cost, they're going to go in all in for God, and they're going to find out that God is their all in all. This morning, I want us to find our all in all. So I propose to you that if you want to live a life that is all in and you want to go all out, you must be fully devoted to a God or to God or to our God as your all in all. So I want us to realize that surrender to God is the best thing for you. But it doesn't always mean that it's the easy thing. So today we're going to be looking at this text in Daniel 3, and instead of reading the whole passage, which is the whole chapter 3, it's rather long. I'm just going to kind of tell you the story, and we're going to read some important parts that help us illustrate what I think God is trying to teach us. And so what's going on? You've got these three guys, and they are in exile. They don't live at home. They have been captured by a foreign government, and they have been brought to live in a new place. Now, these guys are fairly smart. They've been given important jobs. They've been given jobs like governor or overseer or something like that in a province. And so they are some cream of the crop. They are some smart guys. They're healthy. They look good. And so the king, whose name is Nebuchadnezzar, has set them up in various regions to be leaders of the various people. Now, these three men are named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you've probably heard this story before, but these men are Jewish boys who are living in this foreign land. And King Nebuchadnezzar says, I think it's time for me to build a statue. Now, he builds a statue, but it's not just any statue. It's not just a bust. It's not just a head and shoulder statue. It is a 90-foot statue made of gold. 90-foot statue made of gold. Man, Cortez would have been happy to find that, right? So he gets this statue and he sets it up. He has it made and he has it set up in this massive field. And then he gets everybody together and they're going to play music. They're going to blow horns. And when that horn is blown, everybody is supposed to respond by bowing down and worshiping this statue. Well, that becomes a problem. It becomes a crisis for these three guys who are exiles living in a foreign country who say, the only God is our God. The only person we should bow to and the only one we should worship is our God. Yet we are in this conundrum. We are told that we better bow to this 90-foot gold statue. What are they going to do? So the day comes, the decree has been sent out, everybody gathers, they're at the field, the statue is there, music begins to play, and they blow the trumpet, and everybody bows, except these three guys. And of course, everybody wants to look around to make sure who's bowing. It's kind of like at church. When the pastor says, everybody close your eyes and bow your heads, there's always that two or three people who are like, their eyes looking around. And then they go and tell you, you didn't have your eyes closed. And we say, how do you know that? But there's always those few people who are watching everyone else. And they go to the higher leaders and they say, hey, the other day when we had this little get together, when we, you know, the horns blew and we were jamming out to the music and had the golden statue, everybody bowed except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so it's there we pick up with the story in the text. It's there that we're going to find out what these guys will do, you see, because they're given another chance. Are they going to take that chance? Or are they going to say, God is my all in all. He is the only one I trust. He is the only one who is worthy of my worship. He is the only one who matters. So if we do, we would pick up in verse 13 of that text. And we'll read it together. Again, it's Daniel chapter 3. We'll start in verse 13. It says, then in a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar asked them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I have set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the drum, sound and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I made. But if you don't worship, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue you from my power? Verse 16 says, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But this is an important verse. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. We will not worship your gods or the gold statue you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have a choice to make. And for them, it is a matter of life and death. And I'd make the argument for us today that is also a matter of life and death. We have a choice to make. Are we going to follow God, or are we going to go after our own desires, our own passions, our own things we want to do? Is God going to be our all in all, or are we going to give ourselves over to other things? And so these guys have a choice to make. And it is literally a choice. It's a matter between life and death. There is a death sentence. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew. They knew this. If they refused to bow down to this 90-foot statue, what was waiting for them? The king told them. But they knew this even before they didn't bow the second time. They knew that the decree said, you bow or you die. And so when Nebuchadnezzar gets the information back, he calls these guys in. He's angry. He's in a rage. He's ticked off because some of his leaders have dared to defy him. He says, I've set up this statue. I've told you about our gods. You've been knowing about them. Why don't you worship them? And they said, because it's more important for us to worship God than to worry about death. They feared God more than they feared death itself. They chose to stand for what was right rather than bow for what was wrong. And all of us are confronted with these decisions every day and every week. Will we stand for what is right, or will we bow for what is wrong? It's all or nothing. It is now or never, and it is life and death. And you know, we could, and we probably would, struggle with the decision. Would you, really, if you were in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's shoes, are you going to bow? Are you going to give your life over to this gods? Are you going to give yourself over to the gods, or do you stand firm? Now, most, if not all of us, will say, I'm going to stand firm. But most of us, rather, in honesty, when we're faced with the door of the furnace or bowing down, we will rationalize our way out of obedience. And some of us have that same issue today. We will rationalize ourselves out of obedience to God. These are some of the things Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have said. They could have said, hey, you know what? I'm bowing on the outside, but I'm not bowing on the inside. Or maybe they say, I'll just ask forgiveness when I stand up. How many of you say, I'm going to go in sin, and then I'm going to ask forgiveness when I'm done? They say, or they could have said, I'll just say, God, I'm sorry when I stand up. They could have said, well, I bowed down, but my fingers were crossed. So I didn't really mean it, you know. Or this is one of my favorite is, you know, what good am I to God if I'm dead? So I will be in disobedience. I will worship another God so I can save my own hide and rationalize it by saying, God, I saved myself so I can be used by you. And the whole time we can be used by God by obeying him in the first place. In your life, where are these areas at? Where are these things where you are called to question your obedience to God? You know, the idea of integrity is an important thing. Integrity is whether you do something right or wrong. Whether you, we talk about people and say, he has integrity, which means he will do the right thing or she will do the right thing, whether someone is looking or not. And our integrity is often called into question. Will we have integrity when nobody's looking? Will we have integrity when there are external forces pushing in on us? Hey, just bend the rules a little bit. We've got to get through this. Some of the areas in your life where you may have questions of integrity, whether or not you will stand and be obedient to God, or whether you will bow to the external forces of this world, is maybe at work. Maybe you're asked to bend the rules. Hey, don't put down that thing on the receipt. Or maybe let's make some receipts for covering our hide for something that we should not have done. Or maybe it is, hey, let's just bend the rules so we could do this. Tax time is coming up. Some of you may be pushed to claim some things that you have not done. On your side, just bend the rules. We want to just, you know, just get by. We want to save a few dollars. But what about with your spouse? You say, oh, it's just a white lie, right? I didn't really, you know, if I told them, it would really hurt them what I did. So we rationalized our sin away by saying, if I don't tell her the truth, or if I don't tell him the truth, our relationship will be better. All the while, we are bowing to our own desires and addictions. You say, well, it's just a white lie. It's not that important. Nobody's hurt. Let me give you a secret. There's no such thing as white lies. There's just lies. So sometimes we are pushed, or we are prodded to lie to our spouse. And instead of standing firm and being honest, we will lie. What about your children? You do things in front of your children where your integrity is brought into question, and you say, well, later on in life, they will understand. They don't understand the pressures that are on me right now. They don't understand the things that I'm going through. They don't understand the decisions I have to make. But later on in life, when they become more mature, when they learn better, they will understand why I cut the corners I did, why I did the things that I shouldn't have done. They will understand. And rather than stand for the truth, we bow to the pressure. Yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, we refuse to bow. We are willing to give our life away. It is a matter of life and death, and it is worth it for our life to be honest with God. Let me ask you this question. What is holding you back from being totally devoted, for being all in, from being the person who finds God as their all in all in your life? And if you can name it, I challenge you to get it out of your life, or to change your perspective on it. Change the way you see it. Change the way you let it fuel you. Change the way you let it control you. Change the way you let your life be given over to these other things. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they had given in to Nebuchadnezzar, they would have been delivered from the fire. But they would not have been delivered through the fire. Which brings us to the next thing. If we continue on in verse 24, if you jump a section, in the section that we are jumping, what happens is Nebuchadnezzar has the guys put the furnace, like turn it all the way up. It says do it 7 times, which means get it as hot as you can. And so the guys are coming in, and they've put them in binds. They've tied their hands so they won't fight. And his soldiers, the best of the best, are bringing them to execution. And Nebuchadnezzar has given the order to get the fire so hot that when they get close and open the door, the backlash of the fire kills all of the soldiers. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fall in. And then we pick up there at verse 24. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm. He said to his advisors, didn't we throw 3 men bound into the fire? Yes, of course, your majesty, they replied to the king. He exclaimed, look, I see 4 men not tied walking around in the fire unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Now, you may have a version that says son of God, but you need to understand Nebuchadnezzar didn't know the son of God. So he recognizes that this is no regular man. So he says, he looks like a son of the gods. And so Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire, and he calls out. So he gets as close as he can, and he gives a call, he gives a shout. He says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. When the satraps, prefects, governors, and the king's advisors gathered around them, that's all the big shots. When they gathered around, they saw that the fire had no effect on their bodies. Not a hair of their head was singed. Their robes were unaffected. And there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar, he exclaimed, praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel and rescued his servants who trusted in him. They violated the king's command and risked their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Notice the truth on the lips of King Nebuchadnezzar himself. And it's the truth we need to find today, that it is better to violate the commands of others than to worship any god except the one true God. Therefore, I issue a decree that anyone of any people, nation, or language who says anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb and his house made a garbage dump. For there is no other God who is able to deliver like this. See, Nebuchadnezzar is beginning to get an image of who God is. He doesn't have it quite fully all the way, because Nebuchadnezzar at this point still believes in other gods. But he realizes this God, ooh, he's a big dog. No other guy can do what this guy did. Then the king rewarded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so here we are. And I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you, that we need to find God. Find our all in all. All in all, even if it's through the fire. Most of us want to save ourselves. Most of us want to not inflict pain on ourselves. Most of us want to not hurt anything that goes around us. So we run from danger. We run from conflict. We run from anything that can hurt us emotionally or physically or our family. Yet, these three guys are called on by God to be obedient, even if it risks their life. Now, I don't know about you, but I am a pyromaniac, which means I like fire. I've never burned any house down, so don't. It's not what I mean. But if we can, like, start a fire. Or, like, my kids, when, like, it starts to get cold, or like, hey, can we light a fire? I'm like, it's still 80 degrees outside. I know it was 90, but still a little warm. But, and so I love fire. I like starting fire outside. And my favorite form of cooking and consuming food is barbecue. Can I get an amen? That's right. It's biblical. You know, it's... They're always sacrificing animals and burning them. It's barbecue. And so I love barbecue. But the thing is this, when I barbecue or when I play around a fire, I smell like smoke for 2 days. Even though I took a bath, which I do. It's like it seeps in my skin. I wash everything I can and I go lay down in the bed and I still smell smoke. If I pass by smoke, I smell like smoke. Danielle will say, you stink. You've been outside. What's going on? Yet Scripture says, makes a point to say they were bound, tied up. Yet it says not a hair on their head was singed. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their garments did not smell of smoke. Yet they were in the midst of the fire. God protected them, even though they were not sure he would. They were willing to give their life and say, if God does not save us, he is still worth it. If God does not deliver us from this fire, he is still my all in all. If God lets me die, it does not matter. He is still good. And many Christians around the world are having to make that decision today. They are in areas where Christianity is being sought out and being punished and being executed and being driven out of the land. And they have to make a decision. Is Jesus worth it? And time again, they say yes. And the result is not that God mysteriously and miraculously delivers them all, but is that God is glorified even in their death, because their testimony is, you cannot take anything from me that God cannot restore. My life is worth nothing if it is out of God's hands. And so they refuse to denounce God. They refuse to renounce Jesus as their Lord. And they give their life, some of them, by some of the most gruesome means possible. And they meet their Maker through the fire. Here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in a fiery furnace. The only thing that burns on them are the things that tie them down. And they were walking around, and Nebuchadnezzar says, look, there's four guys, and they're walking around, and none of them are tied up. Did we miss something here? And not only are there four guys, but one of those guys, there's just something about him. He looks very different. He looks like a son of the gods. Again, Nebuchadnezzar is not a Jewish believer. He's not a Christian. He doesn't understand the truth about who God is. He is just talking in his language and relating to the people around him the best he knows how. He knows that this fourth guy is different. And this fourth guy meets Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Their decision led them to the fire. Their faithfulness led them into the fire. Let me say it again. Their decision to stand led them to the fire. They were given a second chance, yet their faithfulness led them into the fire. In other words, just because you love God doesn't mean life will be easy. Rather, it'll be probably pretty hard from time to time. Integrity won't keep us from getting thrown into the fire furnace, but it can keep us from getting burned. When people look back on your life, they will say that person stood up, that person believed, that person did not give in. And in the flame, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found their all in all. It wasn't before it. It wasn't after it. It was in the midst of that fiery furnace that they found their all in all. Have you found your all in all? Will you go all in? Will you go through the, when you're going through the flames of life, what will be your all in all? I argue it will not be a friend, because a friend cannot. It will not be some man. It will not be some woman. It cannot be your pastor. It will not be a song you sing. It will not be an amount of money you have. It will not be the job you keep. It will not be the latest and greatest thing on the market, the coolest toy that you can come up with. It will not be your home. Only God can fulfill you. Only God can truly be your all in all. Are you pursuing God as your all in all? What have you replaced God for with your as your all in all? Have you given yourself all to Him? Is today the day for you to meet Him? Do you trust Him alone? Those are some important questions you need to answer. The ball's in your court. Are you going to follow after God, or are you going to follow after your own ways? Is He your all in all, or have you worship some other idol, some other thing in your life that you're giving over yourself to? It's a relationship, it's a job, it's a bank account, it's a child, it's whatever. You live for that person, you would die for that person, yet when God commands you to be obedient to Him, we wimp out and we bow down. God is be all the one you need. He could be your all in all. He wants to be your all in all. Will you give yourself wholly to Him? As Chris plays, I invite you to stand and respond to God. There's some aspect of your life that is not fully His. Give it over to Him. You can come to the altar. You can pray. If you've never given your life to Him in the first place, I would love to know about that, and I'd love to talk with you some more about it. So as Chris plays, you respond to God.